Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning into Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. This is a show for people who are interested in the rich intersection between depth psychology, intuition, that is, depth psychology is understanding our unconscious, understanding what our calling is all about, and accepting that so that our lives can reflect our most persistent dreams. When we connect with that energy, our lives start to take on a quickening energy and start to really represent what we're here joyfully to give and to bring into our lives. So a great way to do that is to connect with your intuition and to connect with your imagination, your creativity in your life. So if those are topics that really interest you, you're definitely in the right place tonight. I encourage you to share your pretty picture on the page so that we know that you are following the show and can get updates of upcoming shows that will be on in upcoming weeks. I also want to share with you who I will have on in the future. On May 28th, I will have Beth Martins on. She is doing something called the Break Free Festival. If folks are out there are familiar with Tom Lesher, he's an amazing, amazing evolutionary astrologer who just practices wonderfully and really knows so much about astrology and connecting people with their heart-centered intuition and visions and this sort of thing. He and several others in his tribe are creating this Break Free Festival that will be online, and then I think it will also be real time. You can go there and go to this festival. So I encourage you to check out Tom Lesher and to listen to Beth Martins talk about Break Free Stories, which will have all sorts of people talking about their journey to find a more authentic self and what that looked like in their own lives. So that will be a really, really rich and interesting show. And I, with no further ado, I want to introduce my guests tonight. Tonight I have Bonnie Chavez, who is a blogger and has written several books on Tarot. And then I have Brad Tesh, who is an intuitive practitioner. I just had a reading with him, which was wonderful. He does all sorts of intuitive work as well. They've written together, co-authored a wonderful book called Seek Joy, Toss the Confetti, Cue the Singing Teapot. You can find their Facebook page for either Brad Tesh's group, Potential Pulse, I believe it's called, or Bonnie Chavez as well. And then you can also find Seek Joy, Toss the Confetti's page. So are you guys there?
We are here.
Awesome, yay.
Hi.
Very, very cool. So I want to ask you all about writing this wonderful book. I'm about halfway done with it. I'm really enjoying it. I read a bunch of books in this genre, but what I really, really appreciate about this one is even though it seems to be about connecting with a sense of joy, it's also about finding joy in times of trial and what that process looks like. And I just found it such a patient development of the subject. And I'd love to hear your take on what it was like to write this book, Bonnie, and then maybe we can get to Brad and just kind of go back and forth like that.
Okay. This is the first time that either Brad or I have co-authored a book. And so it was virgin territory for both of us, but it worked out really well. And how the singing teapot came into it, when we first started talking about doing this, Brad had sent me a link to a short video, a Walt Disney video, that had the Beauty and the Beast that had the singing teapot in it. And
oh,
we just
awesome.
Absolutely adored that. It was just adorable. And so, you know, it was kind of like an in-joke between the two of us, that singing teapot. And then the singing teapot got wild and started dancing. And, you know, it made the process a lot easier because we had something that we could joke about to go through the times when, you know, because we were both writing the book and very diligently writing the book, and we both had our own practices because the rent has to be paid. So we both had our own practices and, you know, other things that we were involved in. So it was a very, very busy time for both of us. But
sure.
I think that it certainly helped me get another way of, or look at, get a new perspective on how to do something like this, because Brad has such wonderful, wonderful, lighthearted, not light, but lighthearted energy. And it was really cool to see what he had to say.
So cool. Well, and it's so interesting to me how you guys balance each other so well in this book, Bonnie. It feels like you have this more grounding way of grounding some of the material and some of the practical, and then Brad seems to take it into this place of the imagination, and you guys just balance each other so well back and forth in the whole course of the conversation, and both seem so necessary to the discussion. So I just love it.
Brad has a little secret. He was born on the cusp, so he's Aquarius, mainly Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
He's
also
Capricorn.
Yep, I have both in there. So it was fun because both of them really, I think, being so close to Bonnie with the Capricorn, I think it really helped because we had that similar sort of personality traits, you know, on some things. And then, of course, I have my Aquarian side, which likes to go wildly dance about in life, but, you know, I have kind of both going on there.
Yeah. Well, did you guys go into it planning on writing the book initially when you found the teapot video, or did that develop out of some of your conversations and that sort of thing? I'm curious.
I'll do it. I can do that one.
Sure.
What happened was Bonnie had this wonderful blessings post that she would do on Facebook, and I thought it was so nice of her to do blessings. Hey, I thought it was such a nice energy. And I started commenting on there, and then I got a little bit creative, and I started maybe talking about throwing some confetti or, you know, silliness, because I have that Aquarian in me. And Bonnie and me started talking that way, as did some other wonderful people. And that's how I got to know Bonnie, and we exchanged that way. And then she was trying to encourage me with my writing, and I, you know, was like, said to her, well, how about co-authoring? And so we got to talking about it, and eventually we co-authored the book.
Very cool. How long did the process take from the time that you decided to write the book till the time that it actually went to print?
I think it was about 3.5 months, three and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pretty close from there.
Awesome. So cool. And so what did you guys learn the most from the process of writing the book?
Well, I think that one of the things that I learned is that this is a subject that I really wanted to write about that I might not have even considered, but when I got started on it, because my profession right now, aside from writing, is tarot reading. And when you're a reader, you're dealing deeply with people's lives. And one of the things that I saw with my clients is that they really needed to have some joy. And most of them had no clue. They would say, well, but I have to pay the rent. How can I have joy? You know, I have to pay the mortgage. How can I have joy? Like, you wouldn't believe what this divorce is costing me. How can I have joy? Process of writing the book on joy and understanding on another level how a feeling, an emotion like joy, is so connected to other emotions. And that's why I put the chapter on there on grief and joy, because people would be aghast and say, oh, my, how can you have joy when you have grief? And it's like, well, if you don't, you're going to stay in your grief a whole lot longer. You have to.
Exactly.
You have to. See the few minutes of or moments of joy that you have, and, you know, then go back to honor your grieving. And so it really showed me that the emotions that we have are extremely interconnected. They don't exist on their own, which is something that intellectually I've always known. But when you go to write about it and you try to explain it to your audience, it goes deeper and hits home.
Yeah, I so appreciated that in your book, because it really is true. I think that people get hung up on this idea that if they're grieving, they have to be grieving constantly. And the healing process, like I think that you guys describe in this book, is so much about your allowing yourself to feel moments of joy and then kind of balancing them with the sadness that you're feeling as you're moving through those emotions. And you guys really, really, really make that clear in this book. And I think a lot of other books, I think sometimes books on this topic can fall into the realm of, you know, it's all happy, happy all the time kind of thing. And I just think both of you really, really address the fact that it isn't all happy all the time, but it has to be joyful even in moments where you're experiencing other emotions, like you're saying, Bonnie.
Yeah, it really does. But I think there's something else here, too. And that those of us who do counseling of any kind, which all three of us do, would understand this, and that is that life is a process. And
absolutely.
The process means that you're dealing with many things at the same time, not just one thing.
Absolutely. And I think we can forget to have joy in some of those moments. You know, we can get overclouded with paying the bills or dealing with our divorce or that sort of thing. And almost, you know, it can be cultural or social or familial to not allow ourselves to experience moments of joy. And they're so important. You know, they're just so important.
They are. I think it depends on where you, how you sort of like, what you allow yourself to really focus on there, and how even in those times of, like, going through something really intense and really emotionally disheartening, you can, like, really find your joy and find your way through the darker times to kind of find the light. And I think that it was a wonderful idea that Bonnie had to include it, because it is so relevant.
Absolutely, and missing in a lot of discussions. And then I love your part too, Brad, about just all the different ways to connect with joy. I think we forget, you know, we think joy is something that finds us, but this discussion really talks about us needing to put ourselves in the place of joy and allow ourselves to connect with joy. And I just really appreciated that approach.
Yeah, I think when we do, you know, people can say, well, you know, and people, it is a huge part of everyday life that we have overwhelmment and we have all these different situations we have to deal with at work or at home or whatever. But what's interesting to note is the more you kind of add a little bit of joy into each day, the more bearable those things can become and the less they can pull you down, you know?
Absolutely. Well, and how easily the energy can shift when we allow ourselves to open up to those experiences.
Yeah, sure.
You know, we forget.
Sure.
We think it's something that finds us, and then we lose it. Even the way people talk about joy, it's such a trip, you know.
Right.
Oh, I was joyful, and then I lost it. You know, like somehow we're not part of that process, you know. We're just kind of waiting to see if it shows up, you know. And if it doesn't, oh, woe is me, what can we do? You know, kind of thing. So that's awesome.
You can pull in any kind of little thing. And you know, Bonnie had wonderful points she put in there, and I put some of my own under the toss the confetti sections, where you can just pull in all sorts of different creative ideas to make your day more joyful or to make it better. You know, even simple things like playing, you know, with your animals or going on a walk or putting your feet in water, those kind of things, although momentary, are really releasing.
They can be transcendent. I mean, they can shift everything in one moment, you know.
Yeah.
And I think there's something that we forget, especially like if we get really, really busy, you know, we think, oh, I don't have time to pet the cat. I'll do that when I'm not busy or something like that. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's like,
totally.
It's amazing how we'll bargain with ourselves that way. Oh, well, when I get this done, then I'll allow myself to go put my feet in cold water or whatever it is. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, to get to the other thing. Well, but we do have to get our schedules done and everything, but you're totally right. We have to remember to incorporate the happy with, you know, what we have to get done.
Absolutely, absolutely. Awesome. So I know that you guys both do this work in other capacities on your own, and I'd love to hear you talk a little bit about both of your journeys doing this work. Whoever wants to start, go ahead and, you know, and just
you can go
share
ahead,
that.
Okay. I think that counseling is mainly what I do through the tarot and intuition and such. And I think that one of the main things that we're trying to give our clients tools to deal with, okay? So when we can deal with their emotions and to even admit to their emotions, I think that that's a very, very good thing. In other ways, I do this in writing. Whether I'm writing for a magazine like Attune Magazine, or whether, you know, I'm writing one of my little mysteries or something. That's where I hope to go eventually, is strictly into mystery writing. But when you deal with people and their psyche and you deal with their emotions, I think for me, it's helpful. It lets me write things in a different fashion. Now, I also do just a little tiny blog for full moon and new moon, and I always list questions that we can ask ourselves, and that flows right into what we're talking about with Joy here, because my aim in putting the questions out there for people to ask themselves is, what are you going to do with the energy that's there? You need to recognize the energy that's there. You need to recognize where you are in it, and then you need to recognize where you want to go. So I think that in just about any part of our lives, we can put information like this to good use.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that that's really true. I think that just knowing how to frame something, just remembering that we have a choice how we frame something, you know, what kind of questions we want to ask, what kind of energy we want to gather, what kind of experience we want to have, and that this book really helps do that. And I know that in both of your practices, you help people to remember to ask those kind of deeper questions so that they can, you know, channel the energies the way that people need to, as opposed to thinking that they don't have a choice.
Yes, we do.
Awesome. And what about the work you do, Brad? Can you just talk a little bit about it?
Sure. Yeah, I do all types of different readings. I do intuitive readings, tarot readings, and angel readings, and then I teach intuitive tarot, and then I also write. So I write a column for Attune Magazine, which is a wonderful collaboration and a wonderful magazine.
You guys both write for Attune, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's, I think so. Jenner, you know, I'm going to echo a couple of things through which Bonnie said that so well. I think it is about all those things, and I also think within the work I do, a big thing that comes up is people finding their center or finding what they really feel that they how they feel grounded, what they feel good about doing in their life, who they are as a person, what they want to give back to the world, what they want, how they want to treat themselves. Okay, so it's a lot of what I call kind of a centering. And I think by kind of paying attention to what you like, what you enjoy doing, what brings you joy, what makes you happy, puts a smile on your face, what you want to contribute to the world, I think by finding your way through that, or at least identifying a couple of the things, you can go ahead and bring them into your everyday, and it helps keep your life more balanced, and it helps you keep, you know, stay sort of in your center so that, because we have a lot we deal with in modern day life. I mean, face it, there's a lot in any given day to deal with, no matter what your profession or what you do or, you know, there's a lot. So remembering to honor that inner child and remembering to find your joy,
I think brings life back into your life, so to speak.
Yeah, I love you bringing the inner child into it. I think that's so important. You know, that's another place where we can start bargaining with ourselves when we get busy. You know, oh, I don't have any time to play. I have to do this. And we can take ourselves so seriously in that place that we disallow ourselves to connect with that joyful spirit.
Yeah.
And so I think it's so cool to, you know, evoke that energy of the inner child and remember that that inner child lives in all of us, you know.
Right. And I think that's what we, you know, even wrote that in a line of the book about, I think, you know, in my opinion, that's what a lot of us are born. We're born with that creativity, that playfulness, that happy joy. And then as we kind of get older and more responsibility and more things on us in our lives kind of go different directions. And we have, some people have even a lot to deal with in their very young childhood. But, you know, to honor that playtime and that fun, because that's really what makes life so enjoyable. It makes it more of an adventure than kind of a routine.
Absolutely. I love some of your lists in here too, you know, because I think that sometimes when people have a lot of trauma or a lot of difficulties in their lives, especially in their early lives, sometimes they don't know how to play or connect with joy. You know, they don't know how, or they haven't been given permission to do that. And I just love some of these lists about ways to connect with joy so that someone who isn't acclimated in that direction so much can really have, like, hands-on ways to connect with joyful expressions.
I you know, when we were collaborating with the book, we each kind of had different ideas spinning at once. And it was more kind of my idea to maybe try a conversational type book because we didn't exactly know which direction we were going. So that was more kind of my idea. And then Bonnie had the wonderful idea of doing the Toss the Confetti points and bringing it, you know, really these wonderful points to the forefront. And I thought that was a great idea. And I, you know, so glad it's in the book.
Absolutely. And it's such a nice balance between both of you. So
thanks.
Cool. So what did you guys' journey look like? I mean, this is a little, you know, I mean, I have a lot of people who do intuitive work on the show, but in the grand scheme of the regular world, this is a little off the beaten path as a career choice. So what did your journey look like to get to this place?
Go ahead, Bonnie.
Okay. I'm sitting here eating, so you'll have to wait just a second.
Well, you're having joy. This is a good thing. I'm having tea and having food.
There's joy there, believe me. There's joy there.
There's joy in my tea, too.
The journey that got me here is kind of a different one. I went in the service when I was 18. I became a medical technologist, which means I run lab tests. I did that for 10 and a half years in the service, and then I did it for, oh gosh, about another 16, 17 years in the regular world, as it were, outside of the service. And then I decided that I wanted to do something different. So I started working on a tarot line, which wasn't that easy back then. It was hard to find one. The line, I was in Las Vegas at the time, and the line that was supposed to come up didn't. And then I got on another very small line that was just, oh, it was absolutely ridiculous. And then I got on a network that was closed down. I won't give it a name, but the network was closed down. And then I got where I am now, and I have been, oh gosh, it's been about almost 18 years that I've been reading tarot for a living. Then I decided I wanted to go into writing because I've always written. I mean, I always write. That's just part of who I am. And so the next part of my journey is going into writing. And one thinks, oh, writing, that's a fun occupation, especially for me, who from my birth cards, I have the moon in the hermit, so writers are basically hermits, so that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then I, you know, what you don't realize is that it doesn't matter if you go with a traditional publisher or whether you publish independently like Brad and I did, you are still looking at promoting yourself, which for me is exceptionally difficult because I don't like to be out in front of people. It just is exceptionally difficult. And so now I'm finding that I kind of had thought that, well, you know, I'm just going to focus mainly on mysteries. But now what I'm looking at is it works for me to balance maybe two books at the same time as long as they're in different genres. Okay, so I can write a mystery and I can write a what I call a self-help type book, although that sounds totally boring. But I think that our book is a self-help book, but we did it with joy. We wrote it with joy, and we wrote it with good intentions, and we tried to make it fun and give people, like at the end of the chapter, give people ideas on what they can do. And they not only got my ideas, which would be kind of conservative, but they also got Brad's ideas, which are much lighter and probably much more joyful. It's like, oh, yeah, I want to do that too. I want to go out and play with a dog. I want to play with a cat. I want to go out and, well, no, I don't want to go out and dance in the rain, but that is one of his. That
awesome.
That kind of, and so it at this point in my journey, I think that writing is probably what I will do forever, as it were.
That's
but
awesome.
Different kinds of writing. So yeah, I'm real happy with where this book fit into my path.
I think it's so cool when we start to find what our calling is as opposed to our vocation. You know, we live in a culture that teaches us all about the importance of having a vocation or a career, but it has to have a spiritual aspect or something that's fulfilling or we're passionate about to be really, you know, satisfying long term. And I think both of you guys are, you know, are well on the way to figuring out what your calling is, you know, and that's just so refreshing.
I have to agree with you.
So, awesome. So, Brad, what did your journey look like?
Oh, goodness. Why? I don't really know. I just kind of leave it. Here's my Aquarian speaking instead of my Capricorn. I just kind of leave it totally totally open to whatever. You know, anything that I'm interested in that feels good to me, that I would enjoy doing, I try to base it on that. I totally am in the process of thinking about and sort of grounding another book right now, so that's happening. And I am going to write, that's for sure. I love writing. I love being in any type of writing, whether it be books or articles or short stories or songs or whatever. I do love doing that. So I'm definitely, that is in my future in one way or another. And then I'm definitely, as of right now, planning, you know, to also incorporate other new adventures that come in while I continue to do my intuitive work, you know.
Awesome. And can you give us a little sneak peek about what your book is that you're writing? Just a little blurb about
the one I'm sort of kind of grounding.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be more of a channeled book from, not that this wasn't, because this was, totally, but it's going to be like maybe every chapter will be a different channeling from spirit instead of maybe the type we did, like conversational or something. It's just going to be pretty much my words kind of echoed from the ethers.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you're going to kind of let it shape itself and then see what shows up kind of thing.
That's
plan
kind of
keeping
it open to that. Yeah, and so I think that's my next one. And, you know, I'm just sort of working on it right now, a little bit by bit, and getting it organized and seeing where it goes. But, yeah, it was a totally wonderful experience writing with Bonnie. And, it couldn't have been a better experience for co-authoring. First book attempt for me and my first co-authoring attempt. So it went really well.
And I just so enjoyed working with her. Heard she's such a wonderful person.
Very cool. Now, you guys both write for Attune magazine, too, right? Can you talk a little bit about what Attune is and what their mission is and how to connect with Attune magazine?
Oh, Bonnie, you got that one.
Okay. Attune magazine is a magazine, and actually she does a radio show, Blog Talk Radio show, too, that was developed by my friend Mary Nail. She is founder and editor, along with her friend Bill Black. And what her objective is with Attune is it's not she comes from a strong basis in the tarot world, but she also has, she's a lot like Brad in that she just has this huge imagination and huge amount of energy and talent. And what she's doing with Attune is she is having people write whatever they want to write along metaphysical lines. Okay? I mean, it could be astrology, it could be tarot, you could put, and it doesn't really have to even be metaphysical, because she puts, she's also a writer. I'm trying to kick her butt and get her into writing for publishing now. We'll get her there eventually. Mm-hmm. But she's just does a marvelous, marvelous e-magazine. And let me just check this out and make sure that I have the URL. Yeah, okay, here it is. The URL for Attune Magazine is Attune, and that's A-T-T-U-N-E, magazine.com. And she's got the title just exactly as what it is, Metaphysical and Beyond. She carries reviews and stories, poetry. She also takes advertising, and she will also help you write your advertising. She carries videos, which, because it's an online magazine, she can do that. I mean, she just does marvelous work, and she's willing to help anybody. She's willing to help anybody, really. She is there for people. I mean, that is Mary. She is just there for people. And so that our listeners can go check that out, I'm going to give them the URL again. It's Attune, A-T-T-U-N-E, magazine.com. The founder and editor is Mary Nail, and if you go on the site, you can connect with her there. It's a quarterly, I should say that. It's a quarterly, and the next issue will be coming out in July, so she'll want to have your submissions by the middle of June. So you still have a chance to bring it in to have yourself published in the July Attune. And the focus, she has started kind of putting a focus out there. You don't, or a theme, if you will. You don't necessarily have to write about that, but you certainly can. It's turned out to be very, very interesting. The devil. Is this?
Oh wow!
And
the devil gets a bad rap.
For those of our listeners, we are really more along the lines of the devil, as in the tarot. Okay. And so what I'm doing is I'm going to be doing an article on the devil lovers birth card pair. I work with birth card pairs, and the devil mm-hmm. happens to be paired with the lovers, which is an interesting combination.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
I'm going to be also writing an article on the devil, okay, just to give him his own due. And I'm going to entitle it the Devil is in the Details, which, if anybody's out there living life, that's exactly it. The devil of anything is in the details. And so I think it's interesting. And like I said, it's an e-magazine, and she has it just so nicely done.
Cool. I've looked at several of the issues, and what I loved about it was that it really is, it's sometimes weighted really heavily toward the tarot, but the discussion, the level of discussion of the tarot, of each archetype, of each major and minor arcana, it was very expertly done. Yeah, there was a lot of information in it. It would seem like a great place for someone to start if they were really interested in exploring the tarot initially, like to read those articles. They're just so packed full of information.
But also to write the articles. We learn when we write.
Absolutely.
And reviews. Mary also carries reviews and interviews. Just about anything you would want, you're going to find in a tune.
Awesome. Very, very cool. And that's the other thing, Mary Nail, I've dealt with her some myself, and she's so approachable. You know, she's just so approachable for people who are new writers or interested in the theme or that sort of thing. She'll just talk to anyone and work with anyone wherever they're at on their journey, you know. Cool. Awesome. So what else do you guys want to share about this book and about your journey writing this book and that sort of thing?
Well, I think that was a good question.
I'm opening it up. I have no more questions to ask. From here on out, it's a free-for-all.
Okay. I think what I really loved about doing it was being able to cover different things. Different aspects of joy.
Talk about that.
Yeah, and I think when we look at joy in the book, we're looking at it from different levels. So we can have a really deep level of joy, or we can have a really light level of joy. And the laughter chapter was one we really had fun with, because, you know, laughter's such a light, fun, you know, part of life. And I don't think we laugh enough, you know, on a daily basis. So we really tried to bring the essence of laughter alive, because I think it's a great thing to incorporate into every day, into as many moments as you can, because it releases your energy and it brings you sort of like a euphoric kind of bliss, like was mentioned, you know, toward the end of the laughter chapter. It's about, you know, it's really releasing, and it really goes ahead and brings a magical type of essence to life. So, I mean, I really think that being able to cover the different multi-levels, how to find joy within sorrow, what joy is in the wheel of life, and then laughter and finding it. It was just so fun to jump around and write on different ways to see joy and different ways to bring it in. That would be for me, but I'm sure Bonnie has totally a different or similar take on that.
I haven't gone to the laughter chapter. I can't wait to read it. I'm about halfway through the book. So what's your take on that, Bonnie?
Actually, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to go to our introduction. And Brad and I each had something to say, and then we had something to say together. And that's what I'm going to read to you.
Sure.
This book is meant to adventure, my dear reader. Its purpose is to offer an educational, enlightening, and fun exploration into joy. We will convey the meaning of joy and showcase the correlations in real life in hopes of bringing its essence alive for you. We hope you laugh and experience plenty of those little aha moments as you discover new, enlightening perspectives and find ways to live vivaciously. The ability to pursue joy is a great gift, the greatest gift that we can give ourselves, and the greatest gift that we can encourage in others. If we can consistently experience joy, we can raise the vibrational energy surrounding us to a very high level. If we all do this, we can raise the vibrational level of our planet as a whole. This is the reality that we want to encourage. We can do this. Remember, the way you choose to absorb this book and use the information presented within it is up to you. Each person's joy is unique unto itself. What makes one person deliciously happy may only be mediocre for another. You, my dear reader, are embarking on a journey with us. Please keep an open mind as you read this book, and when you feel something is helpful to you, make a note of it so you can come back and tie in your revelations throughout each chapter. In this book, we will be discussing what joy is, where to find it in everyday life, why experiencing the emotion of joy is so important, transforming sorrow, living within the wheel of life, and living our strongest life. This book is a tool for you to use to raise the vibration of your life, experience joy and peace on a consistent basis, and to have a huge positive effect on the people and issues around you. Above all else, we want you to enjoy your time with us on this journey. Are you ready to take control
lovely.
Of your life? And we send them on into the book.
That's lovely. I love the part about, you know, connecting with the larger collective consciousness, you know, and raising the joy of the planet. I think we need that so much now, you know, that realization that we're not, you know, separate, that we affect each other, like through laughter and through our stories and through, you know, all of this sort of stuff. We really do raise the vibration of the planet, and we change our lives that way. And I think that's not a message. That's a message we don't hear enough.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think it's about tapping into that energy, because that is energy. Anything we tap into that's joyful, like laughter or eating our favorite food or going to an opera or having a very deep conversation with a friend, we find a sort of energy in that could be termed joy. It's kind of like it opens a different energy vortex, and it brings in a different lightness of being, a different sort of vibration, if you will. And it kind of shifts from one moment to another, depending, I think, on what kind of day you're having, where you're going, what you're doing. Because if you're spending the whole day by a pool, you know, that's going to be very joyful day. For most people who like to swim or be outside in a pool, that would be a very joyful day. But if you have to spend all day in an office, you know, looking out the window at a pool, that might not be so joyful. But you can always, you know, think about, well, I'm going to get off at a certain time, and you can always, you know, look out and enjoy the nature outside of the office, or you could take a longer lunch break and go to a park maybe, or even go to the park during the break. So there's so many ways you can still work with more of a routine than I think people allow, because I don't know that we always allow that. We think, well, we don't have time, or well, we have to do this. So I think when you do find that energy, you can use it in different ways. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think, you know, that sometimes people get so serious that they don't allow themselves to experience joy, and that there's a levity in laughter. There's an experience where, you know, just to allow things to be light, allow things to move and the energy to move instead of taking things that are serious seriously. You know, I mean, they can be serious, but it doesn't mean that you have to be solemn about it, you know, and formal about it. You can still have
it
joy in the experience.
Right. It doesn't mean it has to take up the entire day, you know.
Absolutely.
It can be you know, broken into different joyful segments. Even though you have a whole day to complete, those moments are really about living life, bringing it to life. And I think that is a concept that as we're moving into the new energies of this year and next year, I think that's a concept that's going to come more to the forefront that maybe has in previous years, because people are learning how to have happiness and enjoy the moments rather than just rushing through them.
Yeah, I agree. You must have picked up something intuitively there, because I do water aerobics twice a week, and I go and I read before I do water aerobics. I go and I go to a coffee shop and I read. And I was reading your book before my water aerobics class. And you said, well, if you're going to a pool and you're going to swim, but what was funny about it was when I went to do the water aerobics class, I mean, I always enjoy it. It's a wonderful experience to get in the water and do exercises and be with a group of people that you like. But the thing that I noticed was after reading you guys' book, I experienced a deeper quality of joy. Like I experienced a deeper quality of release in my water aerobics class. And I felt
like
a kid, you know, how when you feel like, when you're a little kid and you feel like the world is just all there laid out for you and you feel so connected mm-hmm. with your body and your emotions and everything feels connected all at once and you're excited. That's how I felt after reading the part of your book that I read. It was powerful. It's a powerful book.
Good.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So awesome. Cool.
Yeah, I think it goes ahead and I think it gives people a good blueprint to at least look at if they're maybe having a bad day, you know, if they're having not such a great day. And, I mean, you know, it goes ahead and, you know, has techniques that can help with if you're having a bad moment, if you're having a bad week. You can kind of flip it open and go to different parts and find, oh, okay, maybe I could do this or maybe I could do that. And that's what I think we really wanted to convey with this was kind of try to bring a more into a different light. And we wanted people to be able to find that kind of stability and bliss within themselves and within every day so we can kind of feel better as a whole, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, I do. Well, I think this book will really, really help people on their journey, and it will help them in so many different facets of their journey, you know, not just someone who's, you know, not understanding what joy is about and wanting to connect with the energy for the first time, but also someone who, you know, experienced great joy in their life and then went through something that was, you know, a process that opened up grief and changed the way they experienced their energy. I think it'll help them get back to experiencing it in a more heart-centered way.
Yeah,
there's a couple of things under Toss the Confetti in the chapter on putting joy into everyday life that really kind of express what you and Brad have been talking about here. One of them is follow your passion, do what you love. When we access our creative center, when we work from our hearts, we're happier, accomplish more, and create a loving environment around us. And then another point here is to stay focused on the present. Set aside small pockets of time during the day to tune into yourself and your surroundings. Get up 10 minutes early so that you can enjoy your coffee. Get up 30 minutes early to exercise if that's what makes you happy. Stop for a few minutes in the morning and in the afternoon to take a deep breath. Look out the window and enjoy the view. Even if all you're looking at is the company parking lot, it takes you away from where you are. And I think that we have to stay in the present to experience our joy, but we don't want to be attached to the present. Like, detach yourself for a moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think that opens, I think what people maybe, maybe they realize, maybe they don't. But I think what, going on what Bonnie just said and what you were just saying, it opens up your energy to receive more. So when you're already functioning in a type of more upbeat, happy, you inwardly feel happy. I'm talking about you feel good. You're not faking it. You actually do feel good about in the moment or what you're doing or what conversation you're having or whatever you're doing. You actually feel joyful and content. It keeps your energy open so that it allows more of that into your life and it allows more joy and more opportunities to filter in because you're already feeling good. And a lot of that does dovetail with what Abraham Hicks' teachings are, which are wonderful. And I did include them in there, even though I did not use any of their material. This all came from my own mind and my channeling, but some of their ideas are through the material. And I think they're a great resource. I've studied them for years. So that does dovetail with it. And it really...
What was the resource? I didn't catch that.
Oh, Abraham Hicks.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that idea of, like, when we're in a place where, you know, I mean, I think there's an interesting idea that, like, to a certain extent, we have a choice about connecting with joyful energies. And sometimes, like, I'll get up grumpy in the morning, and I just will do this thing where I will go, no, I'm letting go of that grumpiness. I'm going to focus on something in my environment that brings me into the present that's joyful and that's pleasurable. And I think that that's a choice. And this book really shows you how to do that, you know.
Yeah, and plus it's fun to have joy. I mean, you know, it's fun to kind of have play on the lighter side of life every day. I mean, you know, everything doesn't have to be so serious. We can play a little and still have a lot. Even if it's just a little play, we can still do a little. And sometimes we can do a lot, you know. So we can incorporate that.
It helps us deal with the heavier emotions, too, like fear or pain and those sorts of things, to allow joyful experiences into our life. It helps us to, you know, be able to regulate those other stronger feelings.
Yeah, I do. And I think Bonnie had a lot of great points in that chapter. You know, I think I learned a lot from working with her, seeing what, you know, her ideas were that maybe I didn't know before. So it brought, you know, it brought a kind of newness to it that maybe I didn't see before.
Awesome. It's so cool when we can, you know, see stuff in other people's work that maybe we didn't explore before and then both become enriched by it. Cool. Wonderful. So we're just
Sitting here looking at one of the quotes that we included, and this happens to be in the chapter on laughter, which was an add-on chapter, actually, but it turned out to be a very, very good one. And it's the quote that heads the toss the confetti section at the end. Thousands of candles can be lighted from a single candle, and the life of the candle will not be shortened. Happiness never decreases by being shared, and that's a quote by Buddha. And that's kind of like what joy is all about. Experience your joy, feel your joy, share your joy.
And that's about that collective consciousness, you know, grow your joy, change the vibration of the planet, too, for sure. Awesome. Very, very cool. Well, we've just got about 7 more minutes, but I want to make sure that people know how to get a hold of you, how to get a hold of Attune Magazine to explore their offerings, and how to get a hold of you guys for your work, for your readings and your intuitive counseling and all of that.
Sure. Do you want to go, Bonnie, or you want me to go?
Go ahead with your links first.
Okay, cool. Okay. So my website is www.awakeninglight, and that's spelled LITE.com. And I do intuitive readings, tarot. I do angel guidance and a lot of intuitive coaching. And you can also find my writing blog at www.innerlite.com. And those are my main two I use. I also am on Facebook and Twitter. If anyone wants to connect to me there, it is Brad Tesh.
Awesome. And then don't you also have a group that you're working with, Pulse?
Oh, yeah, sure. I am. I do work with it's called the Human Potential, and it's a new group and a new thing that's coming in very shortly, and you can find that group on Facebook under Human Potential, and there's also a page for it, and so that will be soonly coming about, and it's a great resource for people to connect with other people, to network, to find spiritual guidance, and to feel as part of a community, and so we're going to be expanding that shortly.
Awesome. Very, very cool. And Bonnie, your links?
Okay, my site is bonniechevet.com. That's BONNIECHOV as in Victor, ET as in Tom.com. All of my books, if you just take my name and put it in Amazon.com, you will find my books on tarot, and I have a new one that just came out, and that's Tarot Rituals and You, the power of tarot combined with the power of ritual. And I think people are going to look at, oh, ritual, no, I don't know about ritual. It's like, yeah, we do ritual every morning cup of coffee is a ritual. All we do here is we take the and put it into that ritual and take it a little bit deeper. On the non-tarot side, I also have a book on surviving the holidays. Now, it was written with the intent November, December holidays, okay? I hesitate to call it the Christmas holidays for those who aren't Christian, because you do have your own holidays, but they just, you know, they aren't Christmas. Everybody is facing the same issues of time constraints, expectations from yourself,
yeah,
expectations from family, memories, emotions, dealing with the whole thing. So that book is out there also. And like I say, go into Amazon.com and just put my name in, BONNIEBEHOVET, and you will find the books.
Very cool. And how do people get a hold of you for your wonderful tarot work?
Okay, I only work tarot through a phone line.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. So if you're lucky enough to get Moni Chave, you'll be really lucky. So set your intentions, and perhaps that will happen. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Really quick,
The Attune link is attunemagazine.com. That's ATTUNE magazine.com. Founder editor is Mary Nail, NALE. And Mary is very, very easy to work with. Remember that it's a quarterly. Up until about the 15th of June, you'll have time to get your stuff in. Any kind of writing that you do, or reviews or interviews or videos, she has just started putting videos in. And Mary is, you can go in to the Attune site and take a look at previous issues. She has them archived. And you can see the work that's being done and who it's being done by. And you can see how very well she presents it. I mean, you don't just pop up a video on a page. It is presented and done well.
Awesome. Yeah, I can attest to that as well, because it's wonderfully put together. And where do we get this wonderful book, Seek Joy, Toss the Confetti Cube, Singing Teapot? Where can folks get that?
It's on Amazon.com.
Very cool. Very cool. And can they get a Kindle version as well, or is it
written through? And the Kindle version.
Yeah, and one thing
cool.
I'll real quick about it is I've got this question a lot. You don't have to have a Kindle to download the book. You can download the Kindle program on a computer or an iPhone, Android, smartphone, and you can then download the book. So you don't have to have an actual Kindle in front of you to get a Kindle version of the book. You just go through Amazon.com and put in the title, Seek Joy, Toss Confetti, and then download. And you can then download Kindle and have an ebook.
Very cool. Well, thanks so much for joining Inner Voice Intuitive Hour and sharing this wise, provocative, and fun little book. It really is a great read. It's a great thing to put by your bedside at night and just, you know, use it like you would use any sacred text.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Have a great night, and thanks again.
Thank you. You too.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
okay.
you.
Oh, you bet. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
My name is says a full time fool. The joke is on me. I got all those birds flying off of the tree. That's lucky.
So much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. Whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, feel magic, create magic, inspire magic, see magic in your world. That's what we're here for. Take good care, everyone. See you next week for Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. This is Jenny signing off. Yeah.